Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Johannesburg businesses and residents are once again grappling with severe water outages. This time, some areas have been left high and dry for up to 86 hours. Around 4 million people have been impacted. The crisis is obviously sparking growing frustration as taps run dry and solutions seem far out of reach. I'm joined now by Dr. Ferial Adam from the water lobby group Water Can. And first of all, Dr. Adam, welcome. Good evening to you. And what immediate policy interventions, in your opinion, should government be prioritizing to stabilize the city's water supply during this crisis?
Yes, I think that there are immediate kind of things that people, the government should have done. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, almost 2 or 3 years, where we know this was coming. So the focus on infrastructure and the focus on leaks as a kind of low-hanging fruit would have been something to do in the immediate. And that is something that I think, while it's been done, but I don't think it's been done as urgently as we need it to happen.
And Dr. Adam, this also reflects broader, as I mentioned in my introduction, structural reforms and also systemic issues in water governance. What are those reforms, in your opinion, then, that are needed and that can be implemented sooner rather than later, I guess, with an eye on cost?
So I think in terms of, you're right, it's very much a systemic issue, and that we've got, you know, 10 years of a failing system, and that links to, it has a history in kind of the corruption that was happening at state capture level. So I think when we look at what can be done in terms of water governance, what we're seeing right now is the challenge of a systemic issue that happened at a national level that is now feeding through to a local government level. And the issue with the policy and governance is that national government is saying, well, this is a local government issue. And if that continues, that kind of break in kind of roles and responsibilities, it's actually going to make things much worse. So the first kind of reform we need is that, how do we get national government as an oversight to actually play the role that they need to play without municipalities falling apart? And that, for me, is something that is a challenge that I'm not sure we can get to right now, but it is something. So one simple way, for example, which is a, needs governance at a national level, is to ring fence funding at a local government level to focus on water and sanitation. That needs a national intervention. And that is something we need quite urgently.
What do you think is preventing that national intervention? Why is there this break between provincial and national discipline in this respect?
But it links to, you know, our policy and our government, well, our legislation, where there seems to be a misunderstanding of cooperative governance. So there's the act that basically, it kind of talks about how do we make sure that we work cooperatively rather than holding people accountable. And for as long as that is in place, then for many years, what we saw is national government does not then, hold local government accountable for what they've been up to and talk about, no, we need to come to a cooperative solution. We passed that stage right now. So I think, and that's part of it, we need to look beyond that. And that, by the way, that act, it talks about doing that, but it doesn't say we can't, as national government, then step in to hold a national, a local municipality accountable or make sure that they do the work that they need to be doing.
And Dr. Adam, your argument is also predicated, I imagine, on municipalities themselves recalibrating their planning framework to make sure that they are integrating citizen science and real-time monitoring into water crisis management, which again doesn't appear to be happening.
No, it doesn't. And the reality is that what we're seeing on the ground, Jeremy, is that without having your citizen science, there's no way that local governments can actually figure out what's going on, because I think that we're in crisis mode. So incorporating that and incorporating citizen science into that kind of planning would assist in the response time and also being proactive rather than reactive.
Are we reaching a point where we seem to be lurching from crisis to crisis, and that people are now just simply, again with the caveat, those who can afford it, business and individuals, are simply taking matters into their own hands, and as it was with Eskom, are simply bypassing the problem at their own expense?
That's exactly what's happening, and that's a problem, right? Because the difference is with electricity, you've got solar, you've got wind, you can go off grid without affecting the bigger system, so to speak, right? But with water, there are no alternatives. So even if you go off grid and you say, okay, we're going to drop a borehole here and drop a borehole there, if that's not regulated, if we don't have checks and balances in place, we can, in a drought period, and we're experiencing a very hot period right now, we're not saying we're in drought, but in a drought period, even your water table, your underground water, would reduce in levels. And we need to keep track. We don't have a proper assessment of what's going on with our groundwater. So that's the challenge, is that going off grid, like having everyone drop a borehole, could actually be detrimental to our full system.
Do you think this is going to go on for the foreseeable future? Do we just need to acknowledge that it's a problem, it's not going to go away, and we've got to become more inured to it?
Unfortunately, I'd like to say no, but it's the truth. That is the reality, is that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what we're trying to really force on, you know, from WaterCan's side on the ground, is to really get government to speak with the urgency it needs. It needs that kind of like fire, you know, that says that we really need to all look at our water supply systems, because there's a problem. But every time government speaks, it's like, no, it seems as if they have it under control, or no, it's not a crisis. That kind of language makes it very hard for people on the ground to then say, okay, I'm going to save, or I'm going to use less water, or listen to any of that kind of awareness raising kind of information that comes out from government.
Are you confident, Dr. Adam, in Rand Water and Johannesburg Water's technical ability, not only to manage the problem right now, but going forward?
So I went to the site visit on Saturday to look at the Rand Water kind of upgrades at the Aikenhof station. I do think that they're doing the right thing, that they have the right advice, and they have as much as they can. Joburg Water have the right people in place. They have the tech, but you know what? We don't have enough. So they are constrained budget-wise. They don't have the resources for enough people on the ground. They don't have the resources to get people and keep people within Joburg Water. And so that is the challenge, is that they don't have the capacity or the amount of resources and people needed to deal with the issues right now. And that's why we're asking for an increase in the budget.
Dr. Ferial Adam, thank you very much indeed, from the water lobby group WaterCan.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.